Hello and welcome to the TV show. I'm John.
And hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's show, today they dropped trailers for Obi-Wan and Strange New Worlds. They look very interesting.
Yeah, they, wow.
I wasn't that on board with Obi-Wan until this trailer.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if I needed the trailer.
Well, I think most people were on board with it. Having thought about it, like I love the character of Obi-Wan. I love what they did with him in the Clone Wars animated series, where he was basically Batman. but you know, they brought in the Sith Inquisitors in live action.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of this him meeting with Vader, because New Hope is supposed to be the circle being complete.
Yeah, I think I was into it until they announced Hayden Christensen was going to be involved. And not that I have an issue with Hayden Christensen. He's a better actor than the prequels would lead you to believe. But
Lucas told him to act that way.
That is
official. That is, everyone has confirmed that.
Pretty much ruined his career, too.
Yeah.
He was very much on the way up before the prequels.
He was. Huge.
But I just don't, like you said, you know, I have not since my old master, you know?
Yes.
There's no reason for them to see each other between Sith and New Hope. So, I don't like that idea. But I love the Inquisitors. I love the idea of his day-to-day on Tatooine, you know, and spying on young Luke and all of that. We also got a trailer for Strange New Worlds, where we see Pike before he's brought into Starfleet, or at least before he's given the Enterprise, which was very interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. Although it occurred to me, we're now going to have year-round Trek.
Yeah, I thought that was the idea of all this.
Kind of leapfrogging. Now we have Picard and Discovery. That's dropping in, I think, early May, Strange New Worlds.
We were originally supposed to have had year-round Star Wars, and I don't know what happened.
And that's a nice segue, because it makes me wonder, because you called it after they announced that there were going to be 5 Star Wars movies in a row every year. You called it Star Wars fatigue.
Yeah.
Are we going to have Trek fatigue?
I think just because it shows, and you know, one at a time, I think people will be fine with it.
Because, I mean, I'm currently, of course, watching Discovery. I love Discovery. It's my favorite. I liked the first episode of Picard. I didn't have a chance to watch the second episode today yet. I kind of fell off on Prodigy. Granted, that's the one I'm the least target demo for.
Oh, yeah. Once I get my Paramount Plus or some other account trickery working together, I might... I'll jump in on all these.
I'm just wondering if it's just going to it's going to be Trek possibly multiple times a week. It's currently 2 Trek shows a week, you know, for at least a few more weeks until Discovery ends.
Now, there's something going on with the Bad Batch. Season 2, I think, was supposed to have come out right at, probably as soon as Boba Fett was done. Uh-huh. And that was supposed to kind of fill the space between Boba Fett and Obi-Wan.
Okay, that makes sense, because it's odd to not have a Trek show, or a Star Wars show, or a Marvel show, I should say, not Trek.
Right. And of course, Bad Batch isn't like a feature thing, you know, just kind of a background thing more than anything else.
But since the beginning of last year, since the beginning of WandaVision, except for 1 or 2 weeks here and there between shows, there has been either a Star Wars or a Marvel show running year-round.
And the original date for Bad Batch was supposed to have been spring of 22, and now they've just changed it to coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's like no date on it. So it's coming sometime this year. Maybe it'll be between Obi-Wan and Andor, I think, or possibly Ahsoka.
I'm now looking forward to Obi-Wan. I've always been looking forward to Ahsoka.
Of course.
Don't really
Ahsoka's
know.
Ahsoka's really what we want.
Yeah. I think I might check out The Acolyte. You know, 1 or 2 of the other shows. I'm not that fussed about the Star Wars stuff, but, you know, we'll see. One other quick note before we get to the show. a couple weeks ago, a couple TV show episodes ago, I should say, we talked about The Legend of Vox Machina. They've officially been greenlit for a second season.
Oh, okay, cool.
So,
yeah, I have to finish the season.
Yeah, the rest of the season is brilliant. So they've officially got another season coming. Now, finally, on to this week's show, which is from 1981/1982, The Phoenix. The Phoenix was an American science fiction television series that premiered on March 19th, 1982, and ran for just under a month, four episodes. the plot revolved around an ancient extraterrestrial who was discovered in a sarcophagus in Peru and awakened in the 20th century. The series was preceded by a TV movie, which aired on April 26th, 1981. I watched all of it. You didn't have a chance to fit in the last episode.
It was just too much. I just ran out of time.
I forgot all about the beginning monologue on the movie and the show. I should mention, we both loved this show when we were kids.
I don't know if I saw it was on so briefly. I think I might have only gotten an episode.
Oh, okay.
It was on opposite of Dukes of Hazzard.
Was it? Okay. I watched it religiously and was so into it that I actually made myself a version of his necklace, of his amulet.
Wow.
He has this big amulet with a bird, with a phoenix in a triangle. I somehow found this little circular piece of cardboard, probably from like a game or something. On the blank side, it was like silver, had something on the other side, on one side. On the blank side, I drew a triangle and attempted to draw a bird. I put it in this circular keychain, put a ball chain on it, wore it for a while. I actually cosplayed a little bit. If cosplay was a thing back then, I probably would have gotten into it. So I was in love with this show. First, talking about the pilot. I'm probably going to cut down a lot of these notes because we'll be going way too long.
Yeah.
I guess the Egyptians were kind of onto something. Yeah. Although I have to wonder if he says I am the Bennu at one point. I have to wonder if that's a title or a name.
I was thinking of, I think like Dune, you know, the Bene Gesserit, I think in the original drafts of Star Wars, it was like a Bindu Jedi. Yeah. It was like their full name.
It's all borrowed from other cultures, of course.
Yeah.
I have to wonder, though, because Bennu is pretty up on modern culture for someone who's been in a sarcophagus for thousands of years.
Well, he could read minds, so true. He probably was able to process stuff pretty quickly to get up to speed.
But
where was he really up on modern culture?
Well, he wasn't the typical fish out of water alien type. You know, he kind of, you know, understood what was going on in the world. He was able to relate to people. But you got to wonder, why didn't he just say his name was Ben or Benny or something, you know, for typical and not say Bennu all the time. I'm glad they saw him actually escaping the hospital, not just teleporting out.
That was one of my favorite parts of the pilot, was him just fucking off out of the hospital. Just kind of like he's in there. No, he's gone.
And they actually showed him escaping. And
yeah,
they did a nice job of keeping up the suspense as to whether or not he was dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, I think, of course, the thing with the pilot is, it was such a slow pace, which is what we were talking about in our episode of Zombie Takeout about A New Hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a lot of Roman Tatooine in this pilot.
I have to wonder what the point of the skinny dipping scene was. He just drops his trowel and runs into the ocean at one point. the pan flutes were ahead of their time by about a decade.
And normally, they send people running in the opposite direction, not draw them in. But I guess, you know, the whole Pied Piper.
This was before the 90s.
They were doing a literal Pied Piper on the nose kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Also ahead of its time was the environmental message, which I think got a little heavy-handed.
It's, It was quite ahead of its time, really. I mean, Earth Day predates it by, I guess, about like 12 years or so, I think. And this is, you know, but it wasn't a mainstream thing like this.
Should mention Bennu the Phoenix. He's actually never called the Phoenix in the series. I wonder why they picked that name.
Maybe it's not until the third episode that they actually mention a phoenix. Or,
It was in the third? Okay. And it was ruined in the last episode, too. But there's this ongoing theme with Bennu, played by the great Judson Scott, who was in Khan. Also had a role in a TNG episode and a Voyager episode.
Yeah, they liked him.
Yeah, he still does conventions now.
And this is a very... I mean, he's acting a lot like Spock in this.
Yeah. He's very Spock. I'll give you that. But he is also periodically very creepy.
Of course.
At one point, he's told by this woman who gives him a ride that it's not nice to read people's minds. At another point in the pilot, he says he likes a photo of a beached whale.
Yeah, good dead whale.
And he explains how whales beach themselves as a form of suicide.
They have... They are way too accepting of people, you know, having their minds read. Mm-hmm. You know, not a fuck you, how did you do that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, he literally says, oh, I've got your number already. It's this in one episode. And it's, maybe you gave it to me this way kind
there's
of thing.
There's a scene where he telepathically links with the scientist and you do like a zoom in on their faces that needs to be a meme. I think the Information Society song would have been better if it was Bennu saying pure energy, though.
Yeah. Well, nothing beats Nimoy saying pure energy.
Just for the obscurity, I think. You know, love track, but for the obscurity, I think it would have been more fun if it was Bennu. I think, and I will say, at least for the movie, the series has other issues, but for the movie, I think... The acting and story kind of make up for the cheesy 80s tropes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with this show. There's two sides of it. There is, you know, Bennu's story that, I don't know, they should maybe just make a movie out of, you know, or just really get to it. But then you've got the other side that of the 80s television show.
See, all the 80s tropes, which get annoying.
And they just kind of line them up like, oh, now we have to do this with drug dealers.
And I have to say, I would like to see a remake.
Yeah, definitely.
I can definitely see Zendaya playing Bennu.
Now, there were some uncomfortable parts to A Modern Sensibility here.
Oh, of course. It's 40 years old, literally.
I'm glad they ditched the bad guy Peruvian who wanted to capture him. That was just a bad look.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we have robbed so much from these countries that you kind of understand why they'd be pissed, but would they really be this way about a person?
Nice to see a disabled character given a prominent role in the movie. Liked how he cured the kid, but it was basically just magical therapy.
Well, yeah, it was a psychological and not a physical impairment.
So, you know, it wasn't some, you know, I've bitched about, you know, Downton Abbey before. It wasn't some just magical cure. It was just the kid was scarred by something psychologically and he'd become mute. And Bennu just kind of, you know, made him face that.
The fire within.
Yeah.
You think these guys like Joseph Campbell?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I was looking up, there's a scene in a later episode that looks like it was clearly ripped off from E.T. But this was actually a year before E.T.
I think it was around the same year. It was out before E.T.
Yeah, this was a year before E.T. was released. I checked.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they didn't rip off E.T.
It does have a very E.T. feel, though.
Yeah, like,
it's aliens here and there.
And there are other things that it ripped off. I did just appreciate that it wasn't fish out of water, you know, take me to your leader bullshit.
Really, this is a combination of two shows. It's a combination of Doctor Who and The Fugitive. Because Bennu is really the Doctor without a TARDIS, you know, or a Sonic or anything like that. It's just, you know, he's got his amulet and, you know, he's on his own.
Right.
But he's guiding humanity.
Mm-hmm. He's and definitely a Christ figure.
Definitely. Yeah, that's the other uncomfortable part is this blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, Messiah figure.
Well, that's why I say, you know, if you're going to recast it, if you're going to remake it, like Zendaya would be a good choice.
And it just The Fugitive, of course. They were making so many Fugitive TV shows back in the 80s.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the thing, because yes, there's a lot of cheese and a lot of tropes and a lot of cliches, but everything had cliches at this point.
It was funny, just to hit home how often these shows were doing these things. At the end of one episode, the version I had, I think it was from a Boston affiliate, during the credits, they have ads for upcoming things. You know, they had Love Boat, they had Fantasy Island coming up. And one of them was a show called Strike Force. And it was like, Strike Force has to work with the mob to, like, get overcome, like, these terrorists or something. So it was just like, they were doing pretty much this whole Hogan's Heroes, you know, enemy of the enemy thing. And what if these two had to work together for some reason? Which is kind of obviously the direction they were pushing the show in.
Right.
And who better Colonel Klink than Mitch, the government agent that is chasing after him and during the series?
Oh, Richard Lynch. Why didn't we do a Richard Lynch tribute?
I don't know.
He passed away while we were doing Zombie Takeout. I think maybe because he was just mostly a TV guy. But loved Richard Lynch. There's a few other heavy hitters they bring in here and there. Looking for names. If I notice, I'll call it out. We get into the series, though, and I'm actually, where I watched it, 2 and 3 were out of order. I'll jump to the proper episode 2. John Vernon, that's the name.
Because some people counted the pilot as episode 1, and some people did not.
Two of them were flipped. In Search of Mira was episode 2, where we get into the opening monologue and the proper opening sequence for the series. Yeah. Which has a very Dianetics feel to it.
This whole show had a very Dianetics feel to it. I think I never even thought about that back then.
And I like that they didn't really turn it into Monster of the Week.
No.
I mean, there's that formula of somebody takes him in. He's the Drifter superhero.
I would have preferred a Monster of the Week, honestly, if it was something to do with his, you know, his life as an alien.
Well, you had this ongoing story of him trying to find his companion, Mira, who they established wasn't a romantic thing in the 5th episode. But you have that ongoing story, and then he has some kind of drama he has to deal with whoever takes him in.
Whoever takes him in has something completely fucked up going on, or sees something fucked up happening, and it gets in the way of him getting captured.
When I was watching it, I thought of The Incredible Hulk.
Well, yeah, that was definitely a show that was taking The Fugitive, too.
That was that trope of, you know, the drifter superhero who gets, you know, caught up in all these dramas. But before the Hulk, Kung Fu.
Oh, right.
This was Kung Fu with an alien.
Kung Fu, of course, The Fugitive, too.
Yeah, fair point.
That was the whole Fugitive. Like, he was searching for the guy who really committed the crime.
Right.
And he would get taken in, you know, a lot of hitchhiking, and something would happen. And maybe they wouldn't even address the whole, like, overall plot of him finding the guy who did the crime.
Fugitive.
Or maybe they did.
Okay, I'm thinking about the I was on Prisoner for a while when you said Fugitive. I wasn't seeing the connection. Okay, Fugitive.
Fugitive is the archetypical show that everybody remade in different ways.
I know the basic story. I've actually never seen it. Maybe we should put that on the list. This episode had E.G. Marshall in a role. Again, great casting. Marco Limo, better known as Gul Dukat, played one of Lynch's underlings, Drove him around in a couple
scenes.
I
did not recognize
him. He had a mustache. He was a lot younger. Wasn't, you know, made up like a Cardassian.
I first thought it was the crazy ex-boyfriend in that episode, which would have been so much better.
And apparently, in this one, they name Bennu's planet Elderbran, which just sounds like an upscale breakfast cereal.
That's where we get elderberries from.
Exactly.
Only now, they mix it with bran on that planet.
Now, there's one scene where the daughter of the family that takes him in, who isn't even in college yet, she's a high school girl, but her father lets her go off with this strange guy who looks like he's around 30.
Yes, that is the one real irritating part of the show, is that everybody, almost everybody, trusts him right away.
Yeah, yeah.
The mom in the on the farm was the only person that did not trust him in the entire show.
Yeah, yeah. Just a couple of notes about episode 3. I just got to say this. She'll never get over Mesa Grande.
Oh, I love that. That whole part of just like, this is Mesa Grande. You fucking idiot. Like, the name Big is literally in the name, man. I like that, you know, he's incompetent and stupid, and that's intended, you know?
Oh, yeah. And he's definitely more human in the series.
I was talking about the agent that's chasing after him.
The agent and idiot. But, you know, Bennu himself is kind of an idiot at times.
He's simple, you know?
Yeah. And he's much more human in the series, which is good, than he was in the movie.
Yeah.
There was one nice practical effect I got to call out. He lifts a car magically, you know, with the amulet. And it was completely practical. It wasn't some cheesy green screen thing.
It was just a model, like a lighter model of a car.
I guess it was just a shell or something. Or maybe they had
something to lift it.
Something off screen lifting it. Yeah, but it was very nicely done.
Except he screws the bolts on the tire with the car on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have any experience changing a tire, that tire will pop off if it is not secured on the ground with the weight of the car on it.
Yeah.
I speak from experience. Sad experience.
Now, I know we don't title episodes of the TV show, but I did think of a few. And this episode in particular got me thinking, because when he has that vision of Mira in the cave, I thought of Mira, Mira on the wall.
Pretty much all of these episodes follow the same format of he's hitchhiking, he meets some attractive women or a woman. There's something going on illegally that he gets in the middle of. Then discovers a cave, explores that cave and has a vision.
Right. And, usually of the villain, I think it was Yago was his name.
Yes. Some lightsaber sound effects.
Yeah.
And then, it's not what he was looking for, or he has some sort of new stone or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has to go because the feds are on his tail and he needs to go on to the next thing.
Some of the names I came up with, Bennu and the Sets. Set the Egyptian god of death. I had to come up with something about the deaths. Granola Starman. Eco Ubermensch. I know you
was
should
this
never
before
go.
Before Starman?
Hmm?
Wasn't this before Starman, though?
Actually, I did not look that up. I mean, it was before the movie Starman, but it was probably not after Bowie.
Oh, yeah. Probably it's not way after Bowie. You're right.
So, Starman. The story of the song Starman is pretty much this. Eco Ubermensch. I know you should never go full Nietzsche, but Crunchy Granola Superman. And my favorite, Bennu and the Amazing Technicolor Amulet. But at this one, three, ends with him stealing someone's Jeep.
Yeah, he seems to be able to drive without any problem, which is kind of weird.
He steals this woman's Jeep. I mean, he's at a bus stop at the last scene, so presumably he left it somewhere where she would find it, but still. And that last scene at the bus stop with the little girl was horrible.
Yeah. Fucking crystals.
Loved the in episode 4. Loved the wrong age, sex, or color when Preminger is asking for this doctor to college, because that's another thing that happens in every episode. Bennu goes to a college and asks for the archaeology department.
That's true. I forgot about that element.
Yeah, and then in Preminger often goes to there too, to in pursuit of him. And,
he should be so easy to catch. He's always going to the archaeology departments of colleges. But he's always hitchhiking. Mm-hmm. So if you just put enough word out that, this guy's wanted, people will give him rides. And archaeology professors will be looking for him.
But Preminger goes to this college, asks her doctor so-and-so, and he asks a black woman who responds with, wrong age, sex, or color. And she says it, she's the doctor. He's looking for him. Preminger looks surprised. Enjoyed that. This one, there was kind of a terrorist plot.
They started talking about uranium, but is that what was really in the back of that armored car? What was that? Or was that the money they were taking to buy the uranium? Right.
And of course, the leader of the terrorists looks like he plays in a German synth pop band.
Yeah.
I never sympathized with Preminger. Except when the psychic was criticizing his aura. I was totally on board with Preminger at that point. And this one was weird because there's a scene at the end where they kind of humanize Preminger.
Right. They were kind of pushing to a turn where he's...
an ally.
Yeah.
I think they were going to bring out Iago, make him the primary villain, and turn Preminger into an ally.
Yeah, definitely. Because, after he flew over them in the motorcycle, again predating E.T., because that's all, flying right in front of the moon, I think Preminger's starting to believe that he isn't just a charlatan illusionist, right.
Yeah. And in the last episode, there's really just one brief... they don't even see each other. Bennu sees Preminger approaching and just hauls. So, they don't even interact in the last one.
Yeah, that was the first time they actually saw each other at the end of that episode with the motorcycle.
Right.
And he also did help them foil that whole case. Right. He pretty much just left it for them in a neat bow and took off. So, Preminger has to be happy with him for that, at least.
There was a line about red lights being good for chickens. I Googled it. They actually did their homework on that.
No shit.
And I did like the scientist coming up with a technological explanation for Bennu's magical powers.
And then the whole blue for grapes.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, is there a color each week? They need more green. I think it's kind of another troubling part of the show. It's really just, what if all the hippy-dippy stuff was real?
Yeah.
It's pretty much the premise of the show.
Right.
Auras and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Now, 5 you didn't watch. It was very much a typical episode.
Yeah.
Except there are a couple, again, creepy moments. At one point, he sees this kid playing a game called The Phoenix. A video game. Stand-up arcade game, because it's, 82.
I remember a game called The Phoenix.
And
kind of.
Bennu gets very interested in it, ends up playing it surrounded by all of these kids. And it was just came across like the old, 30-year-old guy surrounded by kids showing them how to play a video game. And later, the way he finds the family who takes him in, he saves this little girl from a snake. And her father comes up and they're chatting, and the father offers him to take him in and give him a job and all of that. And he says, she's a lovely child. Just creepy.
This is before they were really worried about that sort of thing.
I guess. But this family takes him in, gives him a job at this construction site. The construction site, boss is an asshole. They get into a fight over a cat because
what?
There's this cat that the boss wants removed from the site.
Is he wearing a crystal necklace?
Who Bennu knows is pregnant, so they get into a fight over it. Bennu does get progressively more violent.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there's the fight with the bikers in 4.
Yeah.
Where it gets a bit more violent there. And there's 2 fights in this one where he gets more violent. I think they were maybe going for this thing where Yago was pulling him to the dark side.
Oh, okay.
Also, apparently he plays piano, because he plays Beethoven's 9th at one point. And talks about how it was on Voyager. That's how he knows it.
You know, legend has it there are 5 more episodes.
Really?
Yeah. That never aired, but they exist.
This one, now the versions I watched came from Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
They re-aired it at some point. And there was a CompuServe ad in one of them. Which kind of gives you the idea of when it aired.
The one with the Boston affiliate, whoever did it was doing like a dual VCR sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at one point you got like the old school Cadbury egg commercial with the balking bunny, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. God.
Which, I loved it.
I have a note on this one. I'm glad I won't have to watch that intro again. But like I said, I would love to see a remake. I think it was ahead of its time in a lot of ways. It was trying to be better than it could have been on TV at that time.
Yeah, they had really lofty goals, but apparently TV was really shitty back then. I mean, I watched Dukes of Hazzard over this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about bad shows.
But that's why we need a remake, because we're in a golden age of TV now.
We are.
And they could really, you know, particularly put it on like HBO Max and really give it what it, allow it to be what it could be. And, you know, Judson Scott is still with us. Give him, you know, a recurring role.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he couldn't be Bennu. He's, you know, 70-something, but it would be great to see him in a recurring role.
I like how they acted like he was this real long hair kind of guy, and it was like, I mean, just barely a little scruff kind of, you know.
It was like barely to his neck, or not even his collar.
He was very casual with his artifacts.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, like whatever.
Well, that's the kind of weird thing about the show, because he wasn't really trying to hide that he was an alien. But he knew that it was going to get him, you know, locked up if too many people found out.
But he needed that amulet to survive on the planet. And he was just kind of like, oh, yeah, see, want to look at it?
Yeah. He gives it to the kid when he gets arrested in one of the early episodes.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of seemed like it was executive powers, like the kid was vice president. You know, he gives him the amulet, like, you're the Phoenix now while I'm, you know, in jail. Oh, no, it wasn't in jail. It was during an operation, I think. He was in the hospital.
I think he thought he was going
to
die.
Yeah, so he passes the amulet on to the kid. And, like, you're the Phoenix now. Like, he can just make the kid the Phoenix. Or whatever, the Bennu, or whatever.
The Bennu.
Yeah. So, would you recommend watching the series?
Not the pilot, but the series.
I'm kind of the other way. I definitely check out the movie, because I think the movie is better than the series.
It just took too long. It's not for current tastes.
No.
It was way too slow.
It is very slow paced. But
I think you even commented on social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. About how my ADHD was not having this movie from like 40 years ago.
Right. I mean, it is so slow. There's like very little that happens in those first 45 minutes. And it is amazing they picked it up as a show after that pilot, honestly.
I had watched about a little over an hour of the movie at that point, and it had taken me 2 hours because my ADHD kept distracting me.
I definitely wouldn't binge watch this either.
No.
This is definitely a once a week kind of show.
If I think, you know, particularly if you're at all nostalgic for the 80s, like, do it, watch it, but again, take it as it aired.
Because if you binge watch this like we kind of did this week, it will just bleed together.
Mm-hmm.
Although yeah. the last one I saw really did stand out because it had like they tied a grown ass man to a wicker chair, which I couldn't stop laughing over because, I mean, it's like trying to tie someone to a piece of cardboard, a wicker chair. How could a grown man not just break the chair?
But if you're nostalgic for the 80s, particularly if, you know, you watched it as a kid, if you're our age, definitely check it out. And I think even if you didn't, if you just like some good science fiction, there are a lot of great ideas, a lot of great performances, some decent writing. You just got to accept the tropes.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to accept that this is kind of the A-Team with an alien.
Yeah. The A-Team was another one of those drifter superhero kind of deals.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It was a thing back then.
They just kept trying to remake The Fugitive. It was really weird. Yeah. Because, I mean, it was a big show, but it was a big show like 20 years before this, mm-hmm. or 25 years even.
That's it for the TV show. We're doing The Hearing next for the next 2 weeks. On The Hearing next week will be The Turning Wheel by Spelling. Kind of proggy. Basically, imagine if Kate Bush did R&B. That's my elevator pitch for that album.
Interesting.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life. There you are.
There you are.